A mission trip to Zambia gave Amy Waddell, a USC fashion merchandising junior, a mission of her own to help widowed women in the capital slum. After completing the paperwork last month to create the nonprofit Clothes and Hope, Waddell is focused on selling clothing she's designed and made to help fund a Zambian center to teach widows in the Ngombe compound of Lusaka how to sew. Does Amy have what it takes to run a nonprofit in a foreign country? Waddell sat down with the Carolina Reporter to talk about her goals for Clothes and Hope and her game plan for handling obstacles along the way. What was a specific moment you remember from Zambia that made you realize you wanted to do something?
I think the first day I drove to the orphanage, it's just a place I had never seen, even in the papers or anything. I didn't know something like that existed. And we heard the sound of the children just like laughing and joyful in this really dark place, but there was just like such an immense need that I think it was in that moment that I just knew that I couldn't walk away unchanged from it.
Your shirts are similar to Global Fund's product Redline from Gap. Was that also an influence, and what inspired your designs and pattern choice for your clothing?
I actually didn't even think about that at all. I don't even know how I thought of the pattern. It was just originally an idea to send a Christmas gift to all the girls who went on that summer missions trip with me. So I just like thought of it one day. I was like, hey, let's try it. So I did it, and someone was like, I would buy that if you made it. So that's where they kind of got tied into Clothes and Hope. And so I try to keep the fabric choices pretty like traditional to what the Shitenge fabrics would look like, but still be like appealing to obviously the people here.
What's the Shitenge fabric?
Shitenge is the cultural fabric, I guess, that they use in Zambia, and they use it as like skirt wraps, different like the little, I don't know what they're called, but the things for the babies, and even like different head wraps. And so it's just like a really traditional fabric, and it's like a waxed cotton, and they're just known for all these different brilliant patterns and colors and designs in the Shitenge fabric.
How do you plan on managing a nonprofit, taking clothing orders, and finishing college?
It's quite a responsibility. It's not just a walk in the park. It's like running a full business. So I'm really, really busy. I really don't have time to breathe very much, but I love what I do. And so it's also been really helpful. I've had a ton of help from my family and just from all these different people who want to help out. So it's been really great just to have a lot of encouragement and a lot of help offered already.
Your parents seem very supportive of your plan, but your dad thinks fundraising is going to be one of your biggest obstacles in getting your nonprofit off the ground. He said the enterprise is going to have to be self-supporting at some point, like every nonprofit. What is your plan if you don't make the funds necessary to reach that stage?
I think that it's just going to be a major push over the next year of raising these funds. If I don't go, I do have the funds necessary to go head over there. And I feel like once people can see that this is already operating and it's working and it's changing the lives of these women, that people will want to jump on board. So I don't really see that there's like failure in sight, because if there is like, quote, failure, then it's just me moving home, getting a job like I did or like I would as usual. But right now I really feel like that this is going to happen, and I'm just making all arrangements to do so.
Your dad, as well as a few experts on African studies, raised the point that starting this nonprofit is going to be harder than opening up a business in Colombia. Beyond what you saw on your mission trip, what kind of extensive research and preparation have you done concerning your future home?
I think the best thing I've done is just to talk to people who are already doing what I want to do. So there's a lady who does a similar thing in the slum who works with the women there, but she just makes like bags and does like food training. And so the best thing has just been to kind of get a lot of knowledge from the people who are already there and who have experienced a lot of failure, but have also experienced a lot of success in that culture. So I've been in contact with three people in particular that just have a lot of really great advice on how to go about succeeding in somewhere that's not quite like Colombia with the people or the place or anything. So it's just been really great to learn a lot from them, like firsthand knowledge. But I have been seeking out different websites and stuff as well, just to learn more about the Zambian culture as a whole.
Where and what is the facility you're planning to build supposed to be?
I want it to be in the heart of the Ngombe slum. And so it's just going to be for just a few widows at the beginning. You can't, when you have 5,000 or 10,000 women, you have to pick your first five. So she's going to be at first kind of a small operation, like 5 or 10 women. She's going to be a vocational school so they can learn sewing skills. But I don't want it to end there. I want it to also be like life skills training so they can learn about different preventable diseases like waterborne illness and malaria, even like HIV AIDS, just so these women aren't just like getting a job. They're also like really being able to better their lives and regain position in society.
You say you want to aid poverty-stricken women and children by building a facility where they can be educated beyond what's available to them. How do you imagine the facility you hope to build in Zambia doing that, especially with the number of NGOs that already teach life skills like sewing?
I know in this specific area, there is more need than there is help. So I feel like there's definitely going to be people who don't have this help at all. And Zambian like society as a whole, I feel like, has been left out. It's not Uganda. It's not Ghana. It's not these places that people normally think of to support and to help. So I think that people will be really receptive to the aid. And of course, it's going to be hard at first, just crossing like a lot of like cultural barriers with trust and like really gaining like a place in these women's lives. But I really feel like it can be a success just because there is so much need still there.
You mentioned on your blog that shipping to and from Zambia has been a difficult situation. What experience do you have in operating overseas, and if none, how will you be getting it?
I have no experience, but I have talked to Larry, who runs Zambia Hope, and their shipments over there have been extremely unsuccessful. They've shipped 3 different packages, and only one has made it, and it made it 4 months later. So it's scary that really not a lot of materials actually make it to where they need to go. But actually right now he's over there and he's going to be doing kind of an experiment for me to just figure out how shipping works from Zambia. So he'll be shipping shitanges from Zambia to my apartment, and hopefully they make it soon. And if that doesn't work out, there's plan B and plan C, and so we'll just kind of have to take it from there. But I do just need to learn a lot more about how people's experiences have been getting stuff in and out of the country.
Okay. How do you plan to arrange and oversee construction of the facility through an NGO or another group like the like Larry's organization?
I know that like buildings already exist in this place. It's just a concrete building. It's not going to be like a palace or like some really nice facility, because that's not what the slum is like, and it would be really weird if that existed there. So I'm going to talk to Alina and see if she knows of any open buildings that are already there. I don't like foresee building necessarily. I think that it would be better just to like already take a facility that's already in the community of these women. A lot of this stuff has to be done once I get there. There's no like online application to get a building in the Ngombe slum. So pretty much when I move there, it's just going to be like go, go, go once I get there to arrange all these appointments with the government, to seek out these buildings, to find the equipment that I need that's going to be compatible with the different like conditions of the slum.
You said that you use nonprofits like Larry's,
Zambia Hope,
mm-hmm. as guidance for your own nonprofit. What is it about them that motivates you?
I love their cause, and I love just Larry's heart behind it all. I'm just of complete service, and like he left the same, just like realizing that like something needed to be done. So I just love their vision and their goals, and also how it's still like a smaller operation. It's not some huge campaign that everyone knows about, but yet he's still able to provide for these children and just to really improve the lives of these orphans on a smaller scale.
This is Taz Andrewala, Carolina Reporter.